Hey, everybody, quick announcement. We're doing a second CMP study. Starting May 6th, it's a total win-win. You get to come into League if you qualify for the study, go through the first 8 weeks of League, which we call the 8-week parenting pivot. It's this incredible deep dive of implementing Connect Method parenting. And we get to follow your progress to show the impact Connect Method parenting is having on parents who implement it in their home. So it's a total win-win. All you've got to do is apply for the study before May 6th, because that's when it closes, because that's when we're starting it. There's a link in the show notes. So you just click that link, answer some questions. If you pre-qualify, we'll reach out to you, confirm that it's a good fit, and then we'll be off to the races. So if you've been waiting for an opportunity to jump into League, but you've been hesitant for whatever reason, see this as your sign. It's your time to jump in. I would be so grateful, because my mission is to get CMP out to more people. And part of that process is collecting statistical data showing how it works for people in their home in real situations. So it would be such a blessing for me if you feel inspired to participate in the study. And it would be such a win for you, because you will be able to have access to the tools to shift from corrective to connective parenting. Now, this is only available until May 6th, so jump on it while you can. And if you're not interested in participating in the study, but you would like to start implementing Connect Method parenting, you want that assistance to guarantee you success, League is open for general traditional sign up as well. So you can sign up that way as well. You don't have to participate in the study, but both will close May 6th. So whether you are entering the traditional way or through the study, May 6th is the deadline, and we're not going to reopen until July or August for another round of League. I don't know if we're going to do another CMP study. We'll just have to wait and see. So now is the perfect time to join. And I just wanted to let everybody who's listening to the podcast know about this opportunity, so that you don't go 2 more months and not have the help that you need. And real quick, before we get to the episode, I thought it'd be really fun to share some thoughts from people who just completed this study.
I just can never express how great this has been and how thankful I am. It's been everything. It's been so good.
Like, are we only 2 weeks in? It's like night and day already. There's just been this total shift.
I feel like our hearts are like so connected. Thank you. I'm so grateful.
I really, really see the change.
So fun. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So if you're ready to create a change in your parenting, you're ready to go from corrective to connective parenting, I would love for you to come participate in the study, or you can come in traditionally, but you got to get your application in before May 6th, because that's when we're closing the doors. And the results, by the way, were so incredible from the first study. I am going to do a whole podcast episode about it to let you know what happens when we implement Connect Method parenting now that we have the data to support that. But we want a bigger base to pull from, so that we have hundreds and hundreds of moms that have gone through this study, maybe even thousands. So if you are feeling inclined, come join us in the study. And if you have any questions, reach out to us at hello@connectmethodparenting.com, and we'll get back to you. All right, on with the show. The best way to find peace in relationships is to give up right or wrong. No one has to be right or wrong. Welcome to the Connect Method Parenting Podcast, where correction is out, connection is in, and your kids want to listen to you. I'm Andy Martineau, creator of Connect Method Parenting, here to help you stay calm, confident, and connected no matter what. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Connect Method Parenting Podcast. Today, we're diving into relationships. I want to talk about how we develop them, how it's okay that they're not perfect, how we create a relationship with our child when they're not so interested in creating a relationship with us. It's not that I don't want them to invest in the relationship. I do. But so often we have been confused with the parent-child relationship and defining it by how our child is connecting to us instead of how we are connecting to our child, independent of how they're talking, how they're being, how they're acting, their moods. It's important for us as parents to feel empowered, capable, and confident to create the exact relationship we want with our kids, regardless of how they're feeling, acting, what they're saying about us. So that's what we're diving into today. So what are relationships? How do we navigate these really important relationships that we have with ourselves, with our children, with our partners? So ultimately, our nervous system can be relaxed and we can be showing up as the best version of ourselves, because that's what we really want. I'm going to start talking about first what relationships are. We get really confused about relationships. We understand them in the construct of society. They like us and we like them, and then we have a relationship. But really, a relationship is
the thoughts we have about somebody else. We're under the impression that we have to make sure people are feeling good, especially our kids, that we can feel good so that our relationship is healthy. This becomes very problematic with parenting, because if we need our kids to always feel good and to always like us and always to enjoy everything we're saying, and if they're not, we feel like our relationship is off, that's going to cause some problems with our parenting. So we have so many rules for relationships that have stopped us from experiencing the person that we're trying to have the relationship with. And it locks us into our expectations of how these people or relationships should be instead of what they actually are. We miss the person. Our relationships are simply our thoughts about this other person. Why isn't it that everyone who knows my kids doesn't love them and see beyond their crazy behaviors? It's because everybody has different relationships with different people, and they're all based on their thoughts about the person. So if somebody else has an opinion about my child that is different than my opinion, it's just telling me what their thoughts are about my child. I want to just dive into what a relationship is, so that when we're hearing thoughts that other people have about our kids, that we're clear that all that's telling us is their thoughts about them. Their relationship with our child, or our relationship with our child, is dependent on our thoughts about our child. Knowing this is the secret to relationships and to being able to have the kind of relationships we want with our children, independent of what our mother-in-law thinks or anybody else thinks. Our relationship with anyone is dependent on our thoughts about them. Now, many of us have thought that our thoughts are dependent on what they do or how they behave, but I want to let you know that this is not the crux of it. Your thoughts about them will be dependent on your expectations of them and how well they meet those expectations, or those beliefs you have about them and how well they match up to them. You can't have love for someone. You just have love when you think about them. Does that make sense? You can't be mad at someone. You can only have thoughts that come up in our brains that make us mad about them. We can't have hurt feelings. We simply have thoughts that are hurt. Now, I'm not saying that these thoughts we have are conscious, that we're purposely having thoughts that make me mad at my child. I just want us to notice that they are there, so that we can have the awareness that they're happening, that our relationship is based on our beliefs about someone. Then we have the ability to have whatever kind of relationship we want with someone, regardless of how they're behaving. We can have trust in their inherent goodness, and it's not based on how they're showing up today. We're trusting in who they are inside. I trust you. And that's how we can have this trust and this love and this compassion. And if needed, still say no or set a limit, coming from a place of trust, not a place of frustration, because we are in control of what we think about this other person. I want us to have the awareness, because when we have the awareness of this idea that we have control over how we want to believe, how we want to feel, how we want to have a relationship with our child, regardless of their meltdowns, their tantrums, we hold in our body, in our belief system, such a strong connection and relationship with them that no matter what they do, we can hold on to the beliefs that we want to have about them. I love them. They're hurting right now. They need me. They can't set a limit, so I need to set one for them. And I want you to think about this. There is you, and then there is the other person. You don't have a direct experience with that person. You have a belief about them. And then through that belief, you have an experience with them. So let me say that again. You don't have a direct experience with the other person, with nothing in between. What is in between you is all of your thinking, all of their thinking and all of your thinking. Without inspection, we don't actually even get to see that other person at all, because we're so caught up in our own thoughts about them that we can't drop the thoughts and just be present with what's happening. So I want you to be thinking about what's getting in the way of you actually seeing them for who they really are, all those expectations and beliefs and thoughts that are subconscious, the default ones we haven't inspected, that are helping us have that amazing relationship. If we're struggling, which all of us are on some levels, this is not like eventually we're going to never be needing to be doing this work. We're always going to be needing to inspect our thoughts, because our brains are a little bit crazy sometimes and they want us to just go back to that default. Or people change, they grow up from toddlers to teens, and our brain has to inspect a whole new set of parameters. And so we have to inspect our thoughts again. what I want us to do is not to go through life in default mode without inspecting them, and not to go through our parenting experience, the 18 years we get with them in our home, but then parenting continues. Half of my kids are now adults. It's like, wow, we're still their parents. Now it's learning how to be a parent to an adult. I want us to start to practice wherever we are with our kids, this idea of I have the ability to shape the kind of relationship I have with my child. And it's not dependent on what they say or do. And I want to hold that energy for them, that belief in them, that trust, create that safety with them so that we can always have the kind of relationship that serves them and helps them fulfill their potential. So we're going to wade through the thoughts and expectations. We're going to try to eliminate most of them so that you can actually get to know this other person that you're in a relationship with. But we have to look at the thoughts. We have to do the thought downloads. Pull out a piece of paper and do a thought download and steer model so that you can see what is happening inside your brain. If we don't do that work, then we won't understand. And if we don't understand, we are completely oblivious. We're just swept away into the story. When you watch a movie and you're just swept away into the story and you're not even really intentionally thinking. Now there's a time and place for that. It's beautiful for a movie. We don't want our lives to go through unconsciously. Because once we truly understand that our relationships are really our beliefs about the other person, and we do the work to unpack what am I thinking about this child or this tantrum or the fact that they missed curfew or they hit their sister, whatever it is. Once we do the work to understand the thoughts inside of our brain, our relationships with our children and ourselves will never be the same. They will be so much better in every single way. You will notice that many of your relationships are similar. And this is because many of our thoughts are very similar. We simply recycle relationship thoughts from a lifetime of programming. We transplant them from one to the other. I want you to think about a person you love so much. And I want you to think about what your main thought about them is. And then I want you to think about a person that you struggle with or that you don't love so much. And I want you to think about the thought you have about them. The thought that we have about them is reflective of the relationship. And we might decide that we always want to have that kind of thought about them. I'm not at all saying that you have to go hang out with people that aren't your cup of tea. I'm just saying, be aware of this fact that because it's based on our beliefs, there is the possibility to change it if we want to. I'm going to tell you a quick story and then we're going to dive into having difficult conversations. This is something I ask all of the time. This isn't necessarily applicable to young kids that aren't very verbal or anything before 7. That's when the prefrontal starts coming on and logic and reason starts coming on. I wouldn't really do a lot of what I'm going to talk about next to them because they just need to be validated and heard and seen. All of us need that really, but I'm going to talk about difficult conversations because I think it's applicable to a lot of the things that we're going through with older kids. And when we don't have the skill set of difficult conversations, we end up going through default too. But I'm going to tell you something really quickly. So the thoughts we have, that's what I'm talking about with the relationship. So last night, I typically have no problem going to sleep. I sleep well. It's not hard for me to sleep. So last night when it was 2 a.m. and I was still not asleep, I was very confused. And then I remembered that I probably should just pause and track what was happening in my body. For some reason, I hadn't done that yet. And I think the reason was I was afraid to find out what was happening. So as I went in, as I like got the awareness and went into what are my thoughts and what am I thinking and what's happening inside of my body, I realized that I'm in Orlando right now. And I'm going to an event starting tomorrow. And I was realizing there were all of these thoughts I had about this event, which you can have relationships with events. It doesn't just have to be people. So I was looking at my relationship with this event and my feelings about it and my apprehension about it. And it was fascinating because my default was like, don't look at this. This is kind of embarrassing. You're really nervous about this event. And as I looked into it, I'm like, oh, it's just an emotion in my body. When I sat with the emotion, when I was present to the thoughts, I was doing thought downloads this morning. Why am I so nervous about this? And why don't I feel this way? And part of me was like, what is happening? This is so weird. And this happens with our parenting too. We're going to feel cozy and smooth and things are going to be running well. And then something's going to happen, a situation, or maybe the kids have been fighting and fighting and fighting. We've been pushing aside, but it like re-triggers us and we have a strong reaction that comes back up, which is good. We want to address it. Something is going to happen. And all of a sudden, our body is going to signal to us something is going on because those emotions and those beliefs that we have inside of our body, they're information. that your nervous system is triggered, that you're in a state of fight or flight. And that's exactly what was happening last night with me. I was laying in bed and I'm like, oh, I'm just in fight or flight. I'm really nervous. And as this morning I was writing, which I highly recommend writing if you want to create more powerful, nourishing relationships with yourself and with your kids. I highly, highly, highly recommend doing a thought download. It's great to meditate. I'm a huge proponent of meditation, of walking, of yoga, of breathing, of talking. All of those are really good at visualizing all of them. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Tracking them in your body, tracking the emotions, the sensations that are in your body. Use all of them. But what I have found is that when you write, there's something about it that allows you to access conscious and subconscious thinking. And if you can come at it without judgment, with kindness and clarity and compassion, you will be able to discover so much about yourself. You will be able to make so much headway about the relationships that are in your life. So even though you're going to feel like me, you're going to be laying in bed, maybe not, maybe you'll be walking in the house or whatever, wherever it happens. But for me, for some reason, I was laying in bed at 2 a.m. and I was, why am I not going to sleep? I always go to sleep. Why am I in so much fear? Why do I have so much panic right now? And what I want to recommend is if you want to up-level the relationships you have in your life, you've got to pause when your body's giving you the SOS signal. They're like, hey, look at me. When your thoughts are just rotating through, you're having a lot of dread, you're having a lot of frustration. Those are your body's signals. That's your brain and body's signals to say, hey, can you stop for a second? Something's happening here and I really need you to pay attention. I want you to understand this and do not judge yourself. This is how you're going to up-level the relationships you have in your life. So with that being said, let's talk about difficult conversations because these are inevitable with kids. As parents, we have to have conversations with our children and sometimes they are difficult. And most of us have no idea how to communicate without blame, frustration, defensiveness, or justification. We really have this primal need to be right at all costs. So interesting how important it is for us to be right. We will gather evidence. We will create all sorts of stories to prove that we are right, which makes a lot of sense. Our brain wants to know that it's safe, it's rational, it's validated. We need to be right at all costs. And this need to be right oftentimes costs us our peace. Now, the best way to find peace in relationships is to give up right or wrong. No one has to be right or wrong. No one has to win. Actually, no one will win in a difficult conversation if the goal of the conversation is to prove who's right or wrong. We just end up with two losing parties. So the first thing you have to agree on is that you don't need to be right about anything. If your parenting alarms are like, wah, I am not saying you give up your priorities and your principles and your morals and your standards. But when you're having a difficult conversation, when you're going in and talking to your child about something, you're communicating the boundary or a rule in your home, you don't need to be right or wrong. You can listen to their argument. You can listen to their side of the story. And if you can come in to the conversation with this idea, with this really belief that I don't have to be right, I just get to communicate what I'm going to communicate. And I want to listen to them. What this does is it immediately removes the need for defensiveness. Because when I come in and I'm like, I got to prove I'm right. I got to let them know that it's wrong to not make your bed, or it's wrong to play Xbox that long, or it's wrong to break your curfew. When we're having these logical conversations with our kids, if we can drop that, we can just drop this right, wrong, black, white that society subscribes to. If we can just drop it and realize we actually make more headway when we drop the right, wrong, and we just come in and we hold on to understanding and compassion because it removes the defensiveness. And without the defensiveness, there's no need for offense and the war is over. So in nervous system terms, if I'm not coming in to fight for the right thing, to prove and trying to convince my child that this is what they need to subscribe to, then they don't need to respond with a defensive mode. Their nervous system doesn't need to be activated because my nervous system's not activated. Oftentimes what happens is we come in because we haven't done our thought work. We haven't listen to the emotions in our body. We haven't come to peace with ourselves. So we come in defensive, or we come in like almost attacky, defending. And so our nervous system is triggered. And as a just defense mechanism for them, because biologically we need to be safe, when we're encountering someone who's coming in and they have this fight energy, our body's like, well, we better fight too, because we need to protect ourselves. So let's drop that. So when you remove this need to be right. You remove the need to be defensive. Then there's no reason for them to be offensive. You can start the conversation by being willing to even be wrong. You can take a deep breath of peace. Fabulous. It's amazing. This is what I think is right. I think we should make our beds every day. I think we shouldn't fight with our siblings. I think like I can have these beliefs, but I'm open to hearing their side of the story. If they have a compelling reason why they should fight or not make the bed, like I'm willing to be wrong. And even though that they were probably not going to be convinced that there's another way, we're just coming in with that energy of, you know what? If you gave me a compelling reason, I'm totally willing to be wrong about this. Okay. So when we do this, we start with, tell me what you're thinking. This communicates, I believe in you. I trust you. Tell me how you feel. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me why this is this way for you. So you put yourself in their shoes and you see it from their eyes and from their thoughts and from their steer. And where are they coming from? Stephen Covey, in his infamous book, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, I think that's what it's called. He says, seek first to understand, then to be understood. That's what I'm saying here, is we're coming in with this energy of, yeah, I have something I want to communicate, but I also really want to understand the other person. Okay. So we see it from their eyes and their thoughts. And we can even start to think in steers. That's what I do. I'm like, ooh, that's the situation. And that's their thought. And this is their emotion. And this is hypothetical, but it's done with curiosity and compassion. So I can really understand their thoughts. I want to see their thoughts. I want all of their thoughts. I want to understand them so well that I can really understand from their perspective, from compassion. I'm not using it as ammunition. I'm like, what are they thinking?
If you're new to Connect Method Parenting, I have a great way for you to get started. I created a free course that covers some of the biggest challenges parents are facing and how Connect Method Parenting solves them. In an hour, we're going to talk about why parenting is so hard, how to get your kids to want to listen to you, how to stop yelling and losing your cool and become that calm, confident, connected parent for good. It's the fastest way to get started using connection as your go-to tool for influencing and impacting your kids. Go to cmp.works/course to get instant access today.
This is so fascinating. I'm this scientist. It's like I'm an alien coming down. I'm like, I don't get how these humans think. I want to understand their logic and their reason. So we want to see it from their eyes. We want to look at their steer. Where are they coming from? Can I understand it? Can I make sense of it? Does it make sense if I were them? Can I see it from their point of view? And you keep releasing this defensiveness and any sign of disagreement. And you want to make sure that you fully hear them. Make a true effort to understand your child's every thought, every feeling, every action, every result. This is going to require a different kind of energy because typically when we have a difficult conversation, our intent is that they fully hear us. I want you to hear my thoughts and I want you to know how I'm feeling and I want you to know what the results of this new thing we're going to do is. And I'm saying, turn that completely around. I want you to fully hear them. It makes so much effort. Now, I did not suggest that you are going to be getting that same loving attention and energy from your child or from if you're doing it with another person. You're not going to necessarily get the same luxury from them. You get to be the one who learns and you get to be the one who hears. And when you understand how this works, you will get that telling your whole story isn't necessary. You will get that you are there to understand, to listen, and to create safety. If we can create safety, if we can understand them, where they're coming from, and validate and affirm. That doesn't mean we just lay down passively and we're like, mom's rolled out the window. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is when we understand deeply, they will feel safe, validated. This might take a few times. I'm not saying the first time you do it, their nervous system is instantly going to drop into feeling so safe and secure. But if you keep practicing this, I promise you that you will feel safe. You will be communicating that safety. You will feel confident. You will feel assured. And they will begin to co-regulate with you. You will begin to resonate at a similar frequency or vibration or emotion. And if you consistently do this, it's inevitable that you are going to feel towards them the calm, the connection that you've been wanting. Okay. Once you have heard them out, I want you to identify the facts and make sure you can both agree on the facts. So you've heard their story, you're clear on their steer, you understand their perspective. You're like, oh, I could see how they've come to that conclusion based on what they're thinking and how they're feeling. Now you're going to simplify it down to facts. Make sure you agree on them. Facts always stand alone. Facts are always neutral. Everyone can agree on them because they don't really mean anything. They don't make anyone right or wrong. So you're going to distill it down to the facts. That's the next step. And then to understand your difficulty or your problem, you're going to boil it down to a sentence. So for example, you might have had a situation where the kids didn't help clean up dinner. We'll just use that one. So the fact that they didn't clean up dinner, the kids are making those facts mean. And there could be so many options. Some of them that my kids have told me are, I'm so busy. I don't have time. It's unrealistic. When they were little, they would say things like, my friends don't have to do the dishes. They're making it mean hard labor. And my default might be that they're lazy, but this isn't unreasonable. These are the facts. That's their story about it and my story about it. This is why we disagree. This is why we've had a problem. You think it's okay to do this, and I think it's not okay to do that. No one is right or wrong. We just have different sentences in our brains. I love saying it like that because it just feels less charged. We just have different sentences in our brains. We just have drawn different conclusions. Once we've done this, we can talk in solutions. So I want you to think about this process that we've gone through now of having a difficult conversation. And I want you to think about coming up with a solution that you both agree to. Because at this point, we're not talking about the problem anymore. We're brainstorming solutions. That's what we're doing. That's the only thing we can do. So the goal is to find a solution that makes life better than it was before you had the problem. Be willing to take time with this. It's not going to be a slam dunk right out of the gate necessarily. But if you go through these steps, really, if you come with the energy of, I don't need to be right or wrong, I just want to understand. And there's a completely valid, logical reason in their brain why they've acted or said or done this thing. And my priority is to understand it to the level that I can have deep levels of compassion, exude trust, and create safety. When you can create that safety, gosh, everything else will just fall into place. So here's some questions that you could use if you were going through this process that you could write down to save for later when you have your next difficult conversation. What is the disagreement or fight about? I love asking myself, why are they right? How could I see it from their perspective? That just gets our brain so far out of what it normally is asking when we're in a tricky, problematic situation. What if they're right? How could they be right? At least from their point of view. And I want you to list all of those things. And then I want you to write out their steer because that will give you clarity on where they are coming from. This is powerful. What are the facts that you both agree on? You could totally distill it down to facts that are provable in a court of law. Look at what's actually happening. What is the reality? And then based on those facts, what's my sentence about those facts and what's their sentence about those facts? They may or may not tell you. Sometimes this might be the work you do solo, completely on your own. You're having this tricky thing with your child. Maybe they're not in a place to talk about it. You're just going to have this conversation with yourself. You're going to dive into it with yourself, ask yourself these questions on your own, or you could have them with your child, but don't do it in the heat of the moment. I am not saying use these questions or use this strategy in a heated moment. You want to have the emotions at bay. You want to have processed them, at least not have them bubbling to the top when you go through this. A lot of times this is work that we are doing on our own. So what's my sentence? What's their sentence? And what feeling is it causing me? What feeling is it causing them? If you're doing it by yourself, you're just hypothesizing with the intent to create more compassion and empathy for yourself and be able to come and still be clear on what you want, which might change by the end of answering all these questions, or might be exactly the same, but doing it from a place of compassion. We want to set limits. We want to have conversations. We want to connect with compassion as the fuel, not frustration. A lot of times we set a limit. The energy that's behind the limit is frustration or upset or disappointment, some negative emotion. We don't want that to be the fuel. This process will help get that out. So what are your thoughts about the conflicting sentences? And then brainstorm solutions. And then is there a solution that you could agree on if you're doing it together? Or is there just a solution that you just feel pretty good about? Okay. So I hope that you will take what we just talked about with difficult conversations and think about it, how you could apply it, how you could approach a conversation and not needing to be right or wrong, just coming to understand. So I wanted to talk for a minute about fear, because I feel like it leads right into this. As I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about and teach you guys today, I'm like, okay, relationships, how to have difficult conversations, and then the emotion that comes up that drives us to be defensive, that is an underlying emotion that causes us to be graspy or needy, worried, or coming with desperateness is fear. So I want to talk about fear. Fear is an unpleasant emotion, and it's caused by a belief that someone or something, I'm going to use the word dangerous, but it could be unsafe, is likely to cause pain, is a threat. There's a lot of ways you could say it, but something feels not right. Something is not working out the way we want to. We might not use the word dangerous. I actually used to use the word dangerous about a couple of things. I'd be like, oh my gosh, this feels dangerous. Not like I'm going to die, but this was threatening. There are times where fear is really important, so I don't want to diminish that. There's times where we really need to be using this emotion of fear to get us out of dangerous situations that are legitimately dangerous. But we have evolved to a point that a lot of times we're not in a dangerous situation. There have been times where fear has helped us be safe, but there are times now when fear prevents us from evolving. It prevents us from being the most kind, compassionate person. Be mindful that there are times where fear is important. And so I'm not at all saying that we should never be fearful. All emotions are useful. So all of the emotions that come up in our body are all beneficial. They're all teaching us. They're all helpful. But if we indulge in fear, if it stays inside of us, stays in our body, then it can prevent us from living up to our full potential as a parent. So the emotion of fear causes a chemical response in our body that prepares us to take action steps to keep us safe. So very useful if in a dangerous situation, not so useful if we're not. The problem is that most of the time when we're afraid, we aren't actually in physical danger. What you are really afraid of is how you will feel emotionally if your kids don't ever learn to have a work ethic or don't learn how to be kind to other humans. So have this fear of how terrible we would feel or how we would have not fulfilled our parenting responsibility. So we're terrified that we will feel something forever and we will never be able to escape it. A lot of times it's failure for us parents. If I don't fix the kids' behavior, if they don't get along, if they don't learn to work hard, if they don't learn to be responsible, it's really this emotion of terrified that we'll never be able to escape this feeling of failure or that we've let our kids down. Fear is the reason we need courage. Courage is the character trait we want to develop, but we can't develop it if we don't expose ourselves to fear. We want to expose ourselves to all emotions. All of the emotions are serving us. So when the fear comes up around the story we have about our child's lack of work ethic or their lack of interpersonal skills or whatever our fears, there's nothing wrong with that. We want to experience the fear so we can really decide how we want to pivot that. We experience fear when we're faced with the unknown. So good. So lots of times with our kids, the reason the fear is coming up is because we don't know how to solve this problem. It feels really scary. There's always going to be this feeling of unknown. So fear might come up. We need compassion for our fear and compassion for the pain and the worry. If we're not able to just look at it and be like, oh, there is part of me that is so afraid of what might happen. And we dive into it. We do the thought downloads. We sit with it. We track the emotions in our bodies, all the things we've been talking about. If we can do that and have compassion for the fear, then it's going to help us grow to the next level. But if we just let it stay stuck in our bodies and we let it start driving our actions, it's going to stop us from growing. The fear of the fear, the lack of awareness around the fear stops us from growing. Moving towards feeling the emotions that come up around the situations that are happening with our kids. Understand, I'm afraid. Let me get into that more. Why am I afraid? Why is this happening? When we move towards that with understanding, when we stop in our tracks, like I did last night in my bed, finally, I was resistant at first, but finally I laid there and I'm like, okay, I need to pay attention to this. And fear is a strong emotion. So when you feel it in your body, you can feel it strong when the kids are fighting. It might turn into frustration or anger, but it's this fear of what might happen if this doesn't change. If we can pause, and by pausing, literally, when you're able to, I mean, make sure the kids are safe. You don't want them like fighting and hitting and throwing things that are dangerous. But when they're safe, if you can pause and just give yourself a moment first to see it, pause and see it, then to affirm that this is normal. This makes sense. There is a reason why my nervous system is having this reaction. I'm having this strong emotion of fear or worry or guilt, whatever that pain is. Like, validate, acknowledge, accept, affirm this is happening. And what I will often say is, oh, honey, yep, this is big. This is real. Sometimes I can't even articulate what it is, but it's like part of me is feeling really uncomfortable. This really is really terrible. I hate this. And that will start to allow my nervous system to calm down. If I am fighting it, I'm like, why am I feeling this way? Or I start running default stories. It's because the kids are, and I go down my story. No problem. Just be compassionate wherever you can interrupt the feeling that comes up. It's going to come up with our kids. The great thing about parenting is every day we get them. Like, there's no escape, which I think is really a huge blessing, because we're forced to see it. Maybe forced isn't the right word, but we get to see. We have the opportunity to be confronted with the things that cause us the fear, the worry, the pain. And if we can just practice leaning into it, so we see it, we pause. This is the peace process, which is so powerful, such an important part of the process. But the peace is pause and get present with it. Then we explore it. We're open to it. We're like, oh, what are the thoughts? We have to see it. That's, we're going to do our thought downloads and our steers. And then we're affirming it. That's the A. We affirm, oh, honey, yeah, this is what you're feeling. That's okay. That's okay. I talk to myself like the most loving grandmother would. That's the picture in my head. This beautiful, wise elder who's been through life, who gets the things, who sees the big vision. That's who I'm talking to myself as, my older, wiser version. Or you can think of even somebody in your life that would provide that for you. Oh, honey, it's okay. Right? That's the A. And I sit there. And sometimes, like last night, that's where I was sitting. I did the pause. I explored it. I expanded it, explored it. And then I was affirming, affirming, affirming. I was kind of going through those few PEA, PEA, pause, explore, affirm, pause, explore, affirm. We want to do this for ourselves because then we can do it for our kids. And when we do it for ourselves, we are able to use that emotion for our benefit, even the fear ones. Everything becomes a catalyst for our growth. Emotions are not a problem. They're not a mistake. They're there to help us, but we have to pause and see them and understand them and explore them and affirm them. Otherwise, we're just going to go on default mode forever, 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 right? So moving toward the emotion by getting present, by exploring, and by affirming, it releases the suffering. I know this feels counterintuitive, but it's true. And this is the work we have to do for ourselves. This is the work that our kids present to us every day when we feel these emotions. And if you're like, I don't feel a lot of fear, anger, frustration, whatever that emotion is for you, a lot of times this fear or lack of safety, if we unpacked all the top layers, that's where it is on the base layer. But unpack it wherever it is, wherever you are, just unpack it and then move towards it. Because you can then use these challenging situations to move yourselves into the best version of yourself. When we fight against it, it leads to panic. Instead of relaxing into the fear, embracing the fear, seeking to find peace and understanding, the worst thing that can happen, I love to remind myself of this all the time, is an emotion. So as we are coming to peace with the emotions, then everything starts to feel so much more doable. Connect method parenting is about learning how to be connected regardless of the other person. The other person is our child usually, right? So we're not dependent on their behavior, on their state of mind, how emotions are happening for them today. So here's some questions to ask yourself. What are you afraid of? What scares you the most and why? When have you used courage to effectively overcome fear? How did you do it? How did it serve you? What do you do when you meet an emotional edge? You're up against it and you can feel that emotion just like, with the parenting. What are we doing? Count to 10 or tell them no with like a smile on your face. None of that matters if we're fuming inside. That's why it starts with us. How do I want to show up in the world so that there could be metaphoric tornadoes and tsunamis with my children's emotions and behavior that day, and I am the calm to the storm. I am the constant calm. And when we can embody that, then everything begins to change. So let me finish the piece. I started it with you. So pause is the P. Explore or expand is the E. A, as a firm, which to me is the hugest, hugest part. You don't want to continue till you really have gone through those emotions. It might take a second, an hour, 2 weeks. Just stay with it. 2 months, 2 years. And then we're going to start to create something new. And then we're going to execute and embody it. The act of then going and trying something new, coming up with a different plan, that's the create process. And then we're the actual going out in the real world and trying it out is where we are probably going to fail 9 times out of 10 at first, or maybe 10 times out of 10 at first. And we just go back and we continue to process and we continue to prepare for the next time. And every time we do that, we'll continue to improve in the way we're able to go see it better. We're going to be able to understand it better, which is that explore, expand part. We're going to affirm ourselves better. And then we're going to be able to create something new and execute it, which then leads to embodiment. So we're creating something new. The act of doing is what starts to change us. It's all linked, but we have to do the execution part. We can't just think it in our head without going and trying something new, because it won't work. Nothing will happen. Do you have room for fear or worry or frustration in your life? Or do you push it away? Try to ignore it. Like I did last night till 2 in the morning. I was like, I don't have time for this emotion. I just need to go to bed. And finally, it's like, if you just sit with the emotion, it moves through. Your body metabolizes the chemicals that are causing it and it dissipates. So we think we don't have time to sit with it. That is our life, is to sit with the things that come up, to experience them and then move on, not to try to avoid. It's never good to avoid. Do you use memories to bring up, re-trigger those emotions? If so, I want you to list them. I read that a psychologist would tell clients, you're suffering from a case of memories. That is so true. It's not what's actually happening now. It's like a memory, like laying in bed, right? It was like, it wasn't anything that was happening in real time. It was a memory. It was a thought about something else. So what are those memories? What are those events that are scaring us? Do you scare yourself when you think about your future or your children's future? Are you afraid when you think about your future or your children's future? I want you to list those thoughts. I'm using the word fear, but if there's another one that's more present for you, fill that in. But what does fear feel like specifically in your body? I will tell you, last night, it was right here in my chest, climbing up my throat, and a little bit in my stomach. It was so interesting. I just let it be. I'm like, that's fascinating. That is fascinating how it's presenting in my body. And I tell you, the minute I stopped resisting it, I accepted it, I made it just normal, and I started to track it. And I've been doing this for a while, but it was fascinating how quickly it shifted. So try it out. If it doesn't happen immediately, no problem. Just keep trying, trying, trying. It's inevitable that you'll be able to start to release these emotions the less you're afraid to go into them. So what does it feel like when you contract away from the emotion? I want you to understand this. And then what does it feel like when you move towards that emotion? If you don't know what that is, that's not a problem. But my challenge to you is to get really acquainted with, like, what does it feel like when I'm open to the emotion? What does it feel like when I'm closed to the emotion? What does it feel like when I'm running away with fear and I'm letting it do its thing versus I'm actually seeing it? There's a difference there. I'm actually being with it, but not believing it. I'm present with it. Think about that. I want you to become really aware of that, because that's going to change so, so, so much for you. I just want to leave you with this idea that every single thing we do in our life is because of how we think it will make us feel or not feel. I want you to seriously think about that. Every decision you make, every dream you achieve, or every dream you let die, or every relationship you nurture and grow, or don't nurture and grow, is because of how you feel or you want to feel. So feelings are very directive. Let's loop this back to the beginning about the relationships that we're creating in our life. I want you to be thinking about how you can become more aware of the thoughts you're thinking about the relationships, aware of the feelings that are coming up, and how you can lean more into them so that they metabolize, so that ultimately you can become that calm, connected mom where your nervous system is in that parasympathetic state, which means you're in equilibrium, your highest thinking is on, your most compassionate, kind, loving, patient self is what you're coming from. So more awareness of your thoughts, more awareness of your emotions, okay? Go rock it as a mom and be really compassionate with yourself too. You know, nothing's gone wrong when you made a mistake. It's all for your learning and benefit. Be so kind to yourself. All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a wonderful rest of your day and your week. See ya.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, come check out League, my Connect Method parenting coaching program. where we take this material and we apply it using my proven formula. Head over to cmp.works/join